So we'd like to call the meeting to order, 6:06. First order of business, Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Do we have the minutes from the previous meeting?
We do not. I will have everything done before then, for the next meeting.
No minutes to approve. There was no meeting in July or in August. First order of business is public comments. Listen to those, Val. Do you want to take us off on that? I know that there are a lot of comments related to particularly transportation and COVID-related issues. Hopefully a lot of those can be addressed in our school reports with public comments, just to make your comments. It's not really a question and answer session. So if you have 3 minutes to make your comments, we have 15 minutes total allocated to the public comment section. Like I said, if anything isn't addressed during the head of school report or any other comments during the course of the meeting, we'll email us or to address those comments directly with everybody. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, if you want to make a public comment online, just raise your hand in the chat. Valerie will start with the public comments that we received online.
Somebody?
I did not see Valerie.
Someone work in the public comments. Does anybody have those?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Yes. Should I text her to see if she...
So would you like me to read the questions as they were sent to us?
Yes, if they ask to be read online.
Okay, so one parent, Mrs. Ahmed, I guess, she wrote
Hi.
Team.
Hi, closest one. Miles!
See the note?
We have a list of 47 kids in Newark area who are coming from the communities within 2-3 minutes, and all of us have to drive to Bear Library. So if possible, request to please replace one of the buses from Governor Square to our area. It is a pressing request to avoid crowd and better manage schedules. Would you like me to go down the list of these emails or?
Yeah, go ahead. And
okay.
If anybody raised their hand.
Right.
Can you keep an eye on that?
We have another email. I cannot figure out the parent's name because it's not signed. It says, "Hi, Miss Valerie. This is regarding bus 10 on which my kid goes every day. This bus is always on delayed schedule of 30 minutes in the morning, which got to regular this week. However, evening timing with PM delay of 60 minutes in PM. I hear we have a driver shortage, which is widespread, but it's a concern too, as a kid leaves home at 7:15 a.m. and is not back until 5:45 p.m. in the evening. Gets them totally drained and makes them skip any activities they are supposed to make too. To add to when I emailed transport and Mr. Evan, he explains the issue, which I totally get, but also added, if the bus is not a good option for your family, you are more than welcome to utilize car line or before aftercare. Not sure either this was right way to speak to parents. Also, there are 3 buses, which comes to some stoppage for drop and pickup, which is 15 to 20 minutes drive from community. We stay, and there are 40 plus students who come from community and other in 1 or 2 miles. It would be great if one stoppage can be allocated to this community, which would about concern about bus number 10, my kid, I'm not gonna read the kid's name, is currently assigned to bus 10, stop Governor Square Shopping Center. Bus number 10 always comes late. Every day I'm receiving emails, 90 minutes delays, and it's really impacting our work schedule. Buses don't have any daily fixed timing. As a parent, dropping kids and waiting for this bus took 2-3 hours daily. End of the day, kids are also very tired and keep waiting for the bus. So really, I'm concerned about this bus not coming on time. So please let me know why this issue is happening every day and when this issue will resolve. Keep going, or if there are similar, there are several emails about bus number 10. You want me to read them all? There's another one about bus number 10. I would like to give my feedback and suggest for bus 10. Bus is constantly coming more than an hour late. If we have dinner driver shortage, then can you take a turn instead of one bus to be late all the time? Kids really have very long day every day. Also, I have sent the list of 47 kids on my area who are coming from the communities within 2 or 3 minutes, and all of us have to drive to Bear Library. So if possible, replace one of the buses to that area or give bus stop. I would request you do so, do some active on this to make a lot of students and parents' life easy. They're similar, right?
Okay.
So I don't know. Excuse me? Yes, there are more. Let's see. There are questions from Alice Moen. At the intro town hall, head of school made a comment that the school is collecting data on students, teachers, vaccination rates. I would like to know what these rates are broken down by middle school and teachers, particularly in lower and intermediate, where kids are too young for vaccination. Will this information be forthcoming? And another question, Quiddle testing is taking place during instructional hours. What is being done to mitigate this? With the availability of rapid testing, free options at the library, I prefer to test my kids at home and not miss class time. What's the plan on that? Thanks much.
Comment. Do you want me to read some?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Are we going to go through? Did you read the one by Anissa Ahmed?
Go below our list. Below our list.
There is one by Pradnya Nikam. Hello, OCS team. We have a list of 47 kids in Newark area who are coming from the communities within 2 to 3 minutes, and all of us have to drive to Bear Library.
No, we read that one.
We read that.
Read the long one. Yeah. There's a very long one that says, withhold my name. You want me to start? No?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I got it.
Okay. Transportation.
Okay. Transportation. We knew last year that we had a shortage of drivers. We had no forethought of busing issues and staffing driver when we did so last year. We carried a transportation surplus of 700K in 2019. I'd imagine we had a surplus last year as well, given buses did not run at full rate. With this information and available funds, we did not campaign over the summer with incentive to obtain drivers.
We didn't use this time to train and attract drivers, as we clearly knew this is an issue for us yearly. Then adding a year of COVID and a shortage nationwide, we didn't choose to be step ahead and utilize our tools. We had a snow day, send your pictures in and tag the school for fun, but not to drive transportation success. Instead, use the same excuse of no money and choose to ride that everyone has shortages. Aren't we at OCS a standout and not the same as others? Why do we not use the funds given for transportation to create the ability for our students to have their, quote, lifelong love of learning, unquote? This has been an issue at OCS for years. Where is our leadership? Parents are your tools, and we are willing. Many have given ideas, their time and energy to do the job clearly someone is not interested in doing. Maybe it's time for a change or leadership in this area. Years ago, I had to email the board. After 3 years of in-house storytelling with no improvement, imagine that. Being asked, did I want to drive a bus when offering suggestions, further supporting, having known we were short drivers years ago. I was left to seek outside information. But we don't have money, and email the entire board. Quickly, I received a call from Dimitri. He spoke to my truth of my findings and the embarrassment of how the department and school were operating. He then said they were not told the event of what was happening, which is exactly what is going on now. He said they would be slow as it was, declined as not necessary, but he sees it actually is. Then mid-year, owned our buses over. Had I not done this, would we have made that progression? Why did it go back to the same after? Why haven't we purchased 1 to 2 new buses a year and not carry surplus? Until the needs are met, we should not have a surplus? If no surplus was allowed, would we give that money back or use it? I'm seeing the same exact things occurring years later. This is disheartening and ultimately concerning. COVID money in the amount of $3 million, correct? What information do we use and collect when directed by the DOE to solicit community input? What avenues did we use that told us parents are fine and choose to have their kids at home after exposure with no means to instruction? Where is the equity of students at home with baseline Schoology access and their peers in class with teacher-led instruction and Schoology? Again, forethought, a plan, next steps? Over 25 out in middle school. As kids go out and come back out, and this revolving door continues, how does the teacher work? The teacher is catching up all the time. The lesson is now self-paced. The block a day can't not offer near what is needed to be a successful learner. Why aren't cameras in the classes with a daily access code for those who are directed out by the nurse and at least have a listening option? No need for true virtual or the teacher teaching to the camera. Certainly during said necessary solicited community input, we parents did not express nor approve that if our children are sent out, they have no access to the teacher's actual in-class lessons for up to 10 days. Did you ask the students how they were affected and how they would be able to learn? What did the teachers think about this setup? They also agreed to this during the mandated community input. The late buses have been an ongoing issue. We know how affected the learning environment is. It's been years the same. You have some staff working double time due to the incompetence of those who make decisions that clearly are not functional. How many left in the last 2 years? How many staff, families? Does that not speak to the lack of progression? We stay and we fight and we give our time and energy. provide reasonable options, communicate collectively, because we choose and we believe in OCS. But our children's continued sufferings due to the lack of leadership and inability displayed year after year is unacceptable. I was told a couple years ago that if you feel the need to leave, that is your decision. There are hundreds on the wait list. This is a chosen staff member with a leadership role speaking. This is the tone of those making decisions. Maybe a change is necessary. Do you do performance evals, peer-to-peer evals? Do you collect parental complaints? You have staff working double for those who choose to be less than acceptable. Follow the parents' page and see that there are people in places who many families lose satisfaction in and aren't surprised by the enormous errors happened when speaking of certain members of OCS who do not operate effectively, efficiently, nor in the best position interest of our school. Sometimes people aren't right for the job. I can't imagine you, the board, getting real-time actual issues and allowing this to go on when there are options and ability, and you allowed and continue to choose this way of operation over and over and over again. Obviously, there is a break somewhere and it has to be fixed. Many reasonable options available and funds available to use now, and had you had the appropriate leaders, this would not be in our laps yet again. When does this end? The attitude shouldn't be leave, we have a wait list, nor should it be everyone else too. It's become embarrassing today where you send your child to school. The community gossips is so poor and we have nothing to speak differently of given how we are currently operating. It is not necessary to be as is.
Thank you.
These are some of them.
Thanks, Mary. We're close to done with the 15 minutes. Are there any other subjects that we want to touch on with the public comments?
With the public comments?
Bus issues.
There were mostly bus issues, and optional.
Snacks to be provided, virtual option.
Pat, Mr. Pappas, was there something that you felt should be highlighted before we?
I'll address it.
You'll address them? Okay.
Yeah, we have all the additional comments as well too. We're forwarding them as well to the head of school and the appropriate authorities to get answers and questions as to why things aren't working. But a lot of them should be addressed in the head of school report, which is coming up next month. Thank everybody for their public comments. We appreciate it. We know it's always challenging at the beginning of the school. This year in particular, with things happening with COVID and just difficulty in hiring folks. Across the board, it's not an Odyssey problem exclusively. So there has been recruitment going on, substantial recruitment over the summer in the last few months. But I'll turn it over to our head of school, Mr. Pappas, who will walk us through the head of school report, which will include some comments as well too on some of the questions we brought up.
I hope you can hear me. I'll try to pull this down a little bit so I can speak as clearly as I can. Welcome. We are very, very excited to be back this year, and welcoming the kids back has been quite an enjoyable experience for all of us. It's certainly a breath of fresh air after having almost 2 years of not having kids in the building. So, you know, in that respect, it's really, really wonderful to see. The school obviously has grown quite a bit. We now serve almost 2,000 students across 12 grade levels, and so that's pretty awesome. Today in the report, what I'm going to be talking about are what are we focusing on right now. Beginning of the year activities, logistics, hiring, enrollment schedules, stuff like that, COVID mitigation, fundraising, facilities updates, visual branding, universal branding, all a lot of different topics that we're going to talk about. I know that a lot of people's number one things on their mind are two things, bus transportation and the COVID-19 pandemic that we're in. Now, as we kind of move forward into this, there are some things that I do want to start with. Number one, I do want to take a moment and appreciate all of the staff that works here at Odyssey Charter School. It is incredibly difficult to run an organization after it's been closed for 500 days. And it's incredibly difficult to start with something and in the middle of a pandemic. But everybody over here has done it with resilience, with grace, with a wonderful attitude, and with a zest for doing what's best for kids. And ultimately, as I go through this, there are many things that we can approach and that we can disagree on. But one thing that we can say is that we're all part of the same Odyssey community. And we are charged as the Odyssey community to be here to support each other. And as we move forward, I would appreciate the tone of support amongst all of us moving forward as we try to solve the problems that are happening clearly within the organization and within the school. There are many, many, many conversations that occur on a daily basis and a lot of consultations and a lot of things that happen behind the scenes before we bring things forward to families. And there's countless hours of thought and planning that goes into this, including the COVID planning itself, and a lot of pre-planning that happens over the summer. That being said, there are some very, very specific legitimate things that are happening right now that are not unfortunately unique to Odyssey, but are affecting Odyssey in such a way that we need to come up with very out-of-the-box thinking ideas in order to solve, in order to make things great the way we want them to be. So as I speak through these, we'll talk through some of the things that have worked, some of the things that we're working on, some of the things that we're going to get better at. But at the end of the day, what I am going to ask is that everybody have grace and patience and that we remember that we're all in the same team here. I'm going to start with COVID updates. I know that's a big area of concern for a lot of people. And I know that a lot of people are curious about our positivity rates and stuff like that. So I want to dive right into that. Our positive cases, the data up to date, as of 10 a.m. this morning, looking at cases from 827 with Quidel starting their testing, this is what we have. In the lower school, we have 2 positive cases, 0 positive cases through Quidel. So those were outside cases. In the intermediate school, we have 7 positive cases, 7 cases on Quidel.
Good enough.
And 3 were confirmed through PCR. We did do a little bit of an investigation to find out why the conversion rate was lower amongst that particular group. We could identify some factors that we can do a little bit better with Quidel. We are using a new testing procedure, and these are people that are just starting to do something at this capacity. As I will speak to later on, this is one of the largest operations that Quidel has to work with, and it's thousands of tests that they're doing. So when you scale up like that, there are going to be a few growing things along the way. Overall, though, we are moving towards becoming better and better at this every day. In the middle school, we had 22 positive cases, 13 cases were on Quidel, 12 were confirmed on PCR. So as you can see in the middle school, we do make sure that our conversion rates are more the way that we normally see them. In the high school, we only have 1 positive case, 0 cases through the Quidel system. So overall, as a summary for the campus, there are 32 total confirmed positive cases, which gives you a 1.6 positivity rate, which is far below the county average. There are 15 confirmed cases through our rapid testing PCR test with about a 0.75% positivity rate when you're looking at from our cases that we confirmed. Our Quidel conversion or confirmation rate on PCR is 75%. 75% with most errors coming from the intermediate school. We have addressed that procedure with them, and we'll continue to monitor as we've not seen this problem at the other levels. These adjustments are expected based on the volume of the testing that we're doing. Compared to last year, just to give you an idea of what we're doing, we are testing 2 times the amount of students, 4 times more frequently. So it is thousands of tests compared to hundreds of tests. So we're scaling up quite a bit. Please continue to exercise patience as we work through this process and kind of really, really address it the best we can. We are asking that our community, please, please, please do not send your children to school if they display any symptoms of illness whatsoever. Our vaccination is highly recommended to fight the spread of COVID. Because our initial vaccination collection was only for people that wanted to volunteer it. I don't have the actual vaccination rates yet. for our organization. We're still compiling that data. As soon as I have it, I will get it to you. The positive cases on PCR at Odyssey Charter School on the PCR have all been unvaccinated students at this time. I think that this is a very important point. I'm going to read it one more time. The positive cases on PCR and Odyssey Charter School on PCR have all been unvaccinated students. So there is something to be said about the trend that we are seeing anecdotally here at Odyssey. Conversations that vaccinations may open up to children 5 years and older are basically coming around until this around mid-October. That being said, in some of the areas where we've seen it, we're looking at basically the fringes of where people can get vaccinated, and that basically seems to be the number one contributor to where we're seeing positivity rates right now. So as soon as we're able to get all of these safely vaccinated, the problem should start to, we should start to decrease a little bit. The school's created a dashboard moving forward, and that dashboard will be on our website, and you'll be able to check through our website exactly what where we are, you know, in terms of COVID every week. So the dashboard will be updated weekly for you, and you can see how we're trending from week to week. And that will always be available to you moving forward. Just look for that pretty soon if it is coming. We really encourage everybody to go ahead and fill out the consent form for Quidel rapid testing if you haven't done so already. We are strongly suggesting, we're asking all families to participate. That stance has not changed with the school. We really would appreciate if everybody would participate, because it does help us quite a bit. That being said, I don't have the exact number of how many thousands of tests we've done, but it is in the thousands range. So, and we have gone through the entire organization more than one time. So there's quite a few tests that are being done at this time. Now, that being said, Quidel is completely running our testing on the children that have consent one time per week. We do high school on Mondays, we do middle school on Tuesdays, Wednesdays we do intermediate school, and Thursdays we do lower school. So that just gives you a little bit of an update on where we are. The dashboard, I have a link to it. It'll be on my head of schools page. You can take a look at that later on, and some other information that's coming from the state. If you have some time, feel free to peruse through those things. Some other things, and I know that these have been concerns, so I want to tell you where Odyssey stands on these things. So Odyssey has created a specific virtual teaching model to deliver live instruction for students who may be quarantined. This is particularly important for students who are close contacts and have no symptoms. This is something that we absolutely know is a parent concern. It is a big concern of mine, and we are addressing it. I do want families to know that the reason why it's taking us a couple days to put this together is about logistics. It is not about planning. It is a human capital issue that we're dealing with. And that's the number one issue that we're having overall. We have contracted three sub companies, and they've given us a total between the three of them, three substitute teachers. It is that difficult right now to address this particular issue. So at this point, we've done some very innovative things internally to allow for our highly qualified teachers that we currently employ at the school to be able to provide this service to our students who would be quarantined in these instances. So the program will offer daily live instruction from our highly qualified teachers. Please look in the Thursday Throwdown tomorrow, which will give you the specifics for the program at your level. It does vary a little bit from school to school, because what you do in the high school isn't exactly what you do in the lower school. So it will look a little bit different, but it will be live instruction for those students daily. And they will get live instruction in, that varies between math, ELA, social science, science, and Greek. So they will be getting full support like that on a daily basis. And I know that parents really want that to happen, so please look for that communication out so that we know how we're doing it. We're also looking to add more substitute teachers to our team, like I mentioned, so we could expand our virtual option if and when it is needed. We're reaching out to our community for help. If you know any retired teachers or folks who may be interested in assisting, please reach out to our HR department. Renee Beamer is our HR director and manager, so please reach out to her for more information. I know that some of us do know retired teachers. I know that I went to the Greek Festival this last week, and I spoke to people who were interested, and we are exchanging information and trying to ask as many resources as we can to help us out as there is a tremendous shortage with human capital right now. Odyssey is now looking to enhance the after-school care as well to include structured programming. So this will allow for us, for our students to participate in more activities here at school, while also allowing for us to add a late bus route and alleviate some of the pressure on the transportation system. An update should be coming as we explore programming with vendors. If someone in the community knows of a vendor who can offer programming that will be of interest to our family, please reach out to me with that information. And I will tell you, with the organizations that I've reached out with so far, they are very hesitant to expand their operations due to COVID. So I reached out to two dojos already, for example, about karate, and they didn't want to have an after-school program in the school because they were afraid of doing that in the school. So there are some logistical hurdles that we have to overcome, that we may have to overcome using our testing models and using Quidel testing to be able to allow for this to occur. But we are looking at those options that will possibly allow for us to provide more programming after school. Again, I welcome any specific suggestions of organizations that you know that can help us. You know, I know soccer shots is possible, karate's a possibility, but like I said, a couple of dojos so far have not given us that option. Dance classes, things like that, art classes, there are all kinds of things that we can do, even from within our own, with our own teachers. But one of the things that I will tell you is that I do have tremendous concern over burning out our teachers as well. So sometimes when we ask them to stay here all the way from 7 in the morning, they can be here all the way through the day, and then we're going to ask them to stay all the way till 5:30, that's not really sustainable on a daily basis and still be able to do lesson planning and the preparations necessary in order to provide the highest quality instruction to our kiddos. So that being said, you know, that's why we're looking at more community options as well as we move forward. Now I'll move on to the next area. I know I heard a lot about this, and I know that, you know, Evan has worked very, very hard in these last couple of weeks, and it's a very, very difficult task. It's very difficult to please everybody, and some of us have a little bit more context than others. We appreciate the support letters that we've gotten with our transportation, and we also appreciate the feedback from some folks that have been giving us possible alternatives to what we're doing right now to help out. But the bus driver shortage is a real thing, and it absolutely has impacted our school's ability to meet all the needs of the program. In terms of the redundancy of the program, there is built-in redundancy in our program. Unfortunately, we had bus drivers that left us literally the night before school opened because another organization offered more money on the spot in an air-conditioned bus. This is what happened. So immediately we're behind the gun, and then we're taking people that are doing our office work, our logistics work, and our dispatch work, and we have to put them in buses because we don't have enough bus drivers, which then means that our dispatch is left short. And even onboarding new people, that requires a timeline as well, because you've got to teach them the ways, you've got to train them and all of that stuff. Being that we're in, would you say we're in maybe day 15 of operation overall? You know, these are things that are going to work themselves out, but they are going to take a few moments to get to. Again, Odyssey is reaching out to the community to find folks who may be interested in completing the CBL licensing or whatever else is necessary so that we can add more routes. Although our program does have redundancy built in, with the current shortage, folks that we had in dispatch and administration are now driving buses every day, multiple routes. Additionally, the company that we contract to support us is dealing with a 40-person bus driver shortage as well, which is causing a lot of problems. These logistical issues are not unique to us. They've caused a neighboring state of ours to call in the National Guard to train them so they can provide support for transportation. It is that large of a problem. Our school is asking for our community's help in identifying potential bus drivers, retired folks, et cetera, who could help us. We are prepared to incorporate new hires immediately. Because some buses are late in the afternoons due to the multiple runs they're making, we are increasing our availability of snacks as well to our late bus riders. We just went over it with our business manager. We're really amping up and we're stocking our food pantry so that we have plenty of snacks for them after school. And we are also offering free aftercare service for those riders. We've also revamped our protocols in every single building to try to expedite the process for building. This is something that the teachers totally resonate with and they understand, like what that means and why that's important. to give some folks a little bit of context on what that looks like. You know, in many cases, for example, in our lower school, with the exception of second graders, you have an entire building that's never even been in formal school. That like, they've never been in formal school. And those policies and procedures absolutely take time to implement. It's not the kids' fault. It is not the teacher's fault. It is a pandemic. And we are working within the confines of that pandemic to get the social emotional education to our kids that they need in order for them to function in a school the way we need them to operate. And that also takes time. And the school and the organization and the staff and the lower school have had many meetings, not only with me, but you know, with their teachers and with other folks to try to figure out how they can continue to improve the processes. We've had changes in the schedules. We've shortened, we've changed our dismissal times to try to make things easier. There are just many, many things that the school is doing across the board to try to improve this as quickly as we can. So again, we ask for everybody's grace and patience as we work through these problems. And grace and patience with me as well, because this is the first time that I'm watching the school operate in its full capacity. When I came to this school in January, the school was not open. And I'll repeat that, the school was not open when I got here. And the school opened after I got here. And we are continuing to increase our capacity ever since. So again, I want to take this moment and this opportunity to thank all the staff for everything they've done to help this happen, from food service, bus drivers, to operations people, to the folks in finance and in payroll that are making sure that we get paid. We are onboarding so many people so quickly, and we want to make sure that those people get paid as well. And all of that takes a lot of time. On top of that, we have the teachers who have been champions for us, taking on all of these new procedures and protocols and handling the pandemic and doing it with grace and patience and smiles every single day. So we really feel blessed for that. I do want to speak a little bit to our mitigation strategies as well. The school's use of masks consistently and the practice of keeping classrooms clean, using purified air, utilizing outdoor space when possible, both for lunch and during class time, and consistent testing anecdotally indicates that the school has been able to maintain stability in the spread of COVID. Again, we showed you our numbers. 1.5% is considerably lower than what our county is experiencing. And we do believe that we are able to continue to use these strategies, especially as the fall season comes. However, I will say that our testing may look a little bit different based on the grade levels and the situations. In grades that experience random spikes, we will test more frequently. In grades where we are seeing consistently low rates, we will begin to reduce the frequency of testing so that we can reallocate resources to grades that actually need them. Our courtyard is also being, that is shared between the middle school and the intermediate school, will now also have a 30 by 60 tent installed. This time the school has purchased the tent instead of renting it, so we can use this to help with outdoor activities, recess periods, social distancing, and things of that nature to help continue with our mitigation process. Obviously, as we continue to move forward, we are bracing for what could come next, and we do understand that as the fall comes into play, we may have to amp up our mitigation strategies some more. One of the things that I do want to front load is that the mitigation strategies may not look the same in every single building. There may be times when something happens to one specific building or one specific grade that does not happen to another building. Especially one of the buildings that I'm speaking of is a high school that has only had one case and consistently has no cases on a week-to-week basis. It's very likely that the high school will probably stay open as long as this is the case. Whereas there could be other situations where we have to look at more severe mitigation strategies that have already been implemented by other schools. I understand there was a university that had to shut down. I understand there was another school that had to shut down, some grade levels that have been shut down. So we also have to be cognizant of the fact that this stuff could happen at Odyssey as well. This is a pandemic, this is a highly contagious variant. So with the help of our mitigation strategies though and our continued really, really, really structured support that we have in place to make sure that we're doing strategic testing, I do believe that we should be able to continue to see some success. But you'll have access to the dashboard, you'll know it, we'll know it. and we will communicate with you as that dashboard continues to develop and as the situation develops and move forward. I do want to say, as like a final note on COVID, and I've said this before, I said this in the town hall the last time that I was with you, there's nothing that I wouldn't do in this school that I wouldn't do with my own biological kids. I also teach in this school, and I'm with kids every single day right here in the high school, teaching AP biology to our students. And so I am intimately connected to the success of the classroom environment. And I believe in the power of the teachers to be able to help our kids. And we are seeing the impacts of what has happened as a result of COVID. So the school will remain steadfast in its approach that the best way to move forward is for our students to be in front of our kids, live and in person, using the mitigation strategies that will help to make sure that we can do the best we can to control the outbreak of COVID in our environment. I'm gonna shift gears now and move on to some other things. We do have some new stuff that's going on. We have hired a development manager who's helping us with the large fundraising and grant projects, but also with the creation of specific marketing materials and a strategic plan for the PR piece of our school. Later this month, direct mail will begin for this school year and the following year. We're happy to report that since our high school has, as I said above, been able to return to full operation with very, very low COVID rates, we've decided to open up a few more seats for grades 9 through 11. We are sending out direct mail in the coming week regarding this exciting opportunity. If you have or know any high school age students who are looking for a great school and a great education, please reach out to Tracy Principe for information about how to enroll. This window will only stay open until September 28th. The Via Brick Flagpole Fundraiser is going to be relaunched again in phase two. We are currently in the process of installing the bricks for the first phase. You will start to see them very, very soon in building 21. So our goal is to raise $80,000 for this. We are continuing to encourage people to take advantage of this. I have a link at the bottom. If you want to be part of the next phase of it, please reach out and go ahead and buy a brick. The PTO is also helping us with that. I want to move over to food services for a second. Our food service, just to give you an idea of like the capacity of the school and what we've been able to do and how much it's increased its capacity so that we can all understand just how well the school is functioning, especially in a pandemic. We are feeding over 1,400 students per day. This is up from 800 students per day just last semester. So we're looking at almost a 100% increase in our output using primarily the same staff. So this is our largest program that we've ever had. We are looking to expand our kitchen in order to meet the growing needs. We'd like to order some new high efficiency ovens to help our kitchen needs. Our development team is looking for community members who would like to donate to the school as well. So you might hear from our friend in development, our development manager, Carl, who's gonna be looking to help us in that department as well. Our PTO is working to launch the student store for the fall. Many of you know that there's a color run coming up as well, which is another kind of event that we have here at the school. It's really, really exciting. I believe it's on October 9th, if I'm not making a mistake on the date. Correct me if I'm wrong. So we are looking at that. The culture-focused parent education seminars will begin very, very soon, right here after we're done with the open houses, or what we call back-to-school nights. We will start those as well. The facilities part. A lot of floors were stripped of wax, skylights were replaced. We are, we've obviously done the 3M coating on all of the desks and the chairs and stuff like that. Now we're in the process, you may have seen some new signage up. The new signage is already up in all of the areas. We're already updating the play area at building 20, so we're gonna be adding more play areas around the outside area of building 20. Those things have been ordered and they will be installed soon. We're also installing a field scoreboard, bleachers, eventually a water system, but that's not necessary right now, but we will. We did talk about the tent in the courtyard, so that's happening as well. We are formatting all the new Chromebooks. We're trying to make sure that every single class has them. We're moving as fast as we can on that particular component. That is very important to us, obviously, because if there is, for if there is a reason for us to have to go virtual for any amount of time, obviously it's going to be important for all the kids to have the technological capabilities for us to be able to move to that model. So that's why we're really, really pushing to get that stuff out as soon as we can. Building level updates. The lower school's been working really, really hard to acclimate the new kindergartners and half of our first and second grade populations back to the building after a year and a half at home due to the pandemic and making adjustments to improve. We talked about this already. We're proud of how our students are adjusting to their assigned seats, mask wearing, COVID test taking, and returning to the in-person learning environment. The intermediate school is totally hitting the ground running. Students are getting used to their transitioning around the building. Staff has been working tirelessly to ensure all the students are safe and following the protocols while at school. We're so happy to have them back in the building. That's definitely been a big plus. We have talked about some of the curriculum updates already. We are looking at some more curriculum updates. I will keep you updated on that moving forward because obviously there's a lot of stuff that we've been talking about over here. The middle school is currently working on students. Well, they already worked out all the student schedules actually, but you'll see an email with some new things that may be coming up as a result of our COVID protocols. I do want to say in the high school, we revamped the pathways to increase flexibility. We created integrated honors courses to create a more competitive transcript for our students, especially when they're applying out of state. We added AP courses and we expanded the overall programming that we're offering. I do want to recognize once again that all of our seniors did graduate this last summer on time, despite the COVID challenges. Our projected enrollment for this year is approximately 2,000 students. It may fall just under that, which is going to be an increase of at least 70 students or so from where we were last year. We are working on a school-wide focus on professional development. Most of it will have to do with having to deal with the social emotional needs of our students. There was one of the comments that came in did talk about like the feedback from our stakeholders. So I am happy to announce that this year, for the first time, Odyssey Charter will be sending out parent, student, and teacher surveys by a nationally known company. The company is Panorama Education. We have contracted them already. These things will start to come out in the coming weeks. And that way we will be giving feedback and we will be getting feedback from our parents, from the teachers, and most importantly, from our students about what we can do to make our school culture, climate, and safety the best it possibly can. This is the first such survey. The first one will be distributed in the fall semester. The second one will be distributed in the spring semester so we can monitor our progress toward our goals that we set based on the feedback that we receive on the first survey. So please look forward for that. It's pretty exciting. We're excited to have that feedback and figure out the best ways that we can do things moving forward. Our visual branding, you kind of saw what we were able to do. We're also focusing on the athletic fields. We talked about that. You'll see some changes over there. The signage, we talked about that already. We're also talking through some other things. We're looking at, with the developmental team, at having sponsorships for the field. So please look for more information on that. We're looking for a major sponsor for our athletic field with a nice, like, housed looking. We're going to make a rendering of it so you'll be able to see it, and then we'll send it out to the community so that we can name the field. And then we're also looking at naming the scoreboard, the bleachers, the diamond, and then those can be rotated on an annual basis. So that's going to be part of our big initiative moving forward. Lots of things going on in school. That's where I'm going to stop for today. It's a heck of a lot of information. I appreciate you taking the time listening to this. As always, you can always email me if you have a question. As you've already experienced, I am very responsive to emails and phone calls, although the phone calls sometimes are a little bit difficult, especially right now because we're moving our offices and moving to a centralized location in Building 21. So some of those calls may not be getting picked up quite yet, but you can always email us and we'll get back to you very, very quickly and try to solve whatever problems you have. Thank you again. We know you have choices, and we are very, very happy that you chose Odyssey Charter.
Any questions from anybody?
One of the questions that one of the parents asked, and I don't know if you have that information, is the percentage of students who could be vaccinated that are vaccinated.
Yeah, because they have only been providing that on a volunteer basis, like we don't have the actual projected numbers yet. So we have already doubled down and asked people to keep sending us the information so that I can give a more accurate number. Because right now I just don't have the number.
And if you don't mind, you had shared with us, but what's the percentage of the staff members who are vaccinated?
I don't have the number yet.
You had given it to us.
It's
in the 90s?
I want to say it's in the 90s, but I don't want to speak out. I don't want to speak out without knowing for sure.
Thank you.
Because again, we didn't require it to be provided. We asked for it to be done. So I don't have that data quite yet, but I will, as soon as I have it, I'll share it out.
So I have another question. I think the 32 students that had to quarantine, what about how many students were impacted from that 32? So I think the bigger number was the middle school, the intermediate school?
Yeah, the middle school. The middle school has had to do the contact tracing that's knocked out students because of the contact tracing that's occurred. So I will get back to you exactly on the number, but as far as I know, it could have been upwards of, with the contact tracing, it could have upwards of 70 kids. Yeah.
And you said tomorrow they're going to go
So tomorrow on Thursday throwdown, you're going to see the communication about exactly what that option looks like. This particular issue that we are seeing is an isolated issue, and it is very specific to a very specific subgroup. The problem should be mitigated relatively quickly as a result of the developing actions that are occurring. Now, due to obviously restrictions with what we're allowed to say and not say, there are just certain things I can't say, but I can say that it shouldn't be a repeatable thing. But one of the things that we're doing on our end is what we're saying is that instead of just doing massive testing across the board, it's more important now to make sure that we're focusing in the areas where we're seeing the spikes specifically, to make sure that we're testing more often in those particular areas so that we can pick it up and nip it in the bud as quickly as it's occurring, so that we don't have any larger problems moving forward.
There's a question regarding in-school versus out-of-school testing, or folks allowed to test, COVID testing.
Oh yeah, there was a question about that. That's a good question. So. Unfortunately, at this time, we are still requiring in-school testing, and we will do it for a little bit longer until we have a little bit more stability in what we're doing. And I will tell you the reason why. I think I said it in the town hall as well. Unfortunately, there are situations, and I'm not saying anybody specific, but there are situations where those documents are being falsified. And when we're talking about community spread and community protection, we need to make sure that the tests that we're doing are actually being done, and that they are accurate, and that we know what's going on. So that's the reason why we're choosing to do them all in-house at this time. In terms of the impact on instruction, like I said, the impact on instruction should lessen as a function of us shifting some of our testing to areas or specific areas where we see that there's a spike or that there's a change in what we saw from week to week. That will help to mitigate the problem with the instruction.
I'm sorry, I missed the part about the
Chromebook. Yeah, a lot of them have already been distributed, but there are a few cases where they're not.
Okay.
And so, I mean, IT's like churning them out really, really fast to try to get them out as quickly as possible. Even though there are things on the back end, the bookkeeping part that we're not necessarily doing all of it yet, because we just need to get those out. But the goal is to get them out like right now, just in case that we have something going on in October. Everybody's telling us to watch out for October. So we want to be ready before that happens, and we want to kind of work out all these little problems before we get to that point.
So could we say by the middle of October will be 1-to-1 for everyone?
I think it'll be well before then.
And just to note, I know some of the folks that are far away from the mic online might not be able to hear, so maybe just quickly review the question so they can understand what they're asking.
It was about the Chromebooks. Like we are distributing them at as fast as we possibly can. And the idea is to have them in all grade levels, like now. So I know that the IT team is literally, the infrastructure is in place, but you know, formatting the computers as they come in, the way things are happening right now with COVID, and they don't all come in together, and then you gotta format every one of those computers. It just takes a little bit of time, but we do anticipate to have this done relatively quickly, have them all out. I can actually provide an inventory on that too. I'll find out exactly where we are for every grade level and shoot that out.
And then my only other question, except we lost some bus drivers. Can you tell me how many we lost?
We lost two drivers.
Two drivers.
The day before school opened. And then we lost one driver because of other things that I can't disclose for an extended amount of time now.
Okay.
And so even though we hired one now back, we're still down two.
Okay.
So we're still looking for some more bus drivers.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, thank you. Next up is the finance report. Oh, wait, oh, sorry, the Greek school, Greek header school report.
No.
Yeah, we're not taking any questions. Email.
So, Dr. Marina, is that?
Yeah.
Sure. Let me say it again.
We have a header Greek school report.
Marina is online.
Dr. Marina is on.
She's
yes,
on.
I am. Καλησπέρα και χρόνια. Καλή χρονιά. Good evening and a happy school year. So I'm very happy to announce that this year we are welcoming four new Greek teachers at OCS. So last year we didn't have any new teachers coming from Greece. This year we have four of them. Two of them are being sent by the Ministry of Education in Greece. All of them have recently come from Greece and they are getting gradually adjusted and acclimated. So starting from lower school, we have Nicole Kizito, who is our new kindergarten teacher who teaches the Greek language in both FLES and immersion program. Anastasia Foukatoudi will be teaching the Greek language in grade two, and Dori Giannopoulou is teaching Greek math also in second grade. And finally, Polly Bakopoulou, who is our middle school teacher. She's teaching Greek in grade six. So I would really like to welcome them all and wish them a successful year at OCS and of course a very pleasant stay in the United States. So the Elinomathi exams are finally going to be held the first week of October, replacing the May 2021 exams. These were postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We have 20 OCS middle school students who are going to sit the exams, and this is a very big number compared to the previous years. And for the first time, we have students who are sitting the exams for the levels A1, A2, B1, and C1. So we are looking forward to their successful results. And the last piece of news concerns me, and I'm really sorry to announce that this year, unfortunately, I was not able to extend my sabbatical, and therefore I needed to return to Greece where I am right now. So I will continue to provide my services to the school and support the program and its teachers, but at the same time, we are exploring with the school other options so as to make the best decision for the Greek program, the school, and our students. I'm wishing you all a happy, healthy, and very successful school year. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marina. And thank you for joining us here. Continue to support the school. Monthly financial review. Jeff?
Sure. Good evening, everyone, members of the board and the Odyssey community. First, I'd like to say hello again since the last time you saw my face was back in June. I want to really quick thank Elias, the leadership team, specifically the business office, and members of the board for your grace and patience during our family's welcoming of a new one. I know that they appreciate it greatly. But I'm back, and we're here to talk some finance from the month of August. This will be a pretty brief overview, as we don't yet quite have projections for the rest of the year, and the school year is still kind of underway. We're still finalizing student unit count and getting a true understanding of where we're going to land from both local and state funding. But we'll go over work with the actual. The preliminary budget revenues for FY22 are just north of 37, or just shy of $38 million. Revenues collected to date are $21.2 million, or 56% of the budget. Much of that is the initial preload that the school receives from the state based on the May 1 student count of the prior year. The final amounts that we receive from the state take place after the student count has been completed on September 30th and kind of flows all the way through January, which kind of lines up with when we put together a final budget from once that piece is done. Revenues received during August, generally speaking, are relatively minimal, as there was less activity at the school. September will be the first preload that we receive on local funding, where we get 35% of the funds received on a projected May 1st count again from the districts. And so September we'll see an increase there, and again, more so once the September 30th year count. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budget expenditures are $30.4 million, which includes a 2% contingency. And expenses to date are $5.1 million, encumbered to $409,000, representing 19% of the budget. Generally speaking, we have ebbs and flows on the expenditure side as we move through the year. The school's primary debt payment is paid out in July, which is just north of $2.7 million. So, although we're 17% of the way through the fiscal year, we're going to see a higher percentage of the expenditure budget earlier, and then that will normalize as you go on through the year. One other factor for that piece, too, is the month of July was actually a prepay month, which we, I think, experience another prepay month in December, so that'll be a piece of that. And this is the web report for the month of August. Some other notes. The federal funding for the consolidated grant and the ARP grant for FY22 was not made available to be spent during July or August, but that has since been updated. And the funding that was anticipated in September will allow for expense recoding to take place to spend the federal funds as were originally budgeted. So to date, we have spent $178,000 towards existing federal grants. Out of the initially budgeted $1.96 million. So it varies. For the consolidated grant, that grant period, generally speaking, is October 1st through September 30th federal fiscal year grant. The ARP funding is a little bit unique, as that will allow spending through fiscal year 24, a 3-year grant period. In our initial budget, we expect to stretch that amount over that time, that the amount spent. There will be some upfront, especially when we talk about technology and curriculum-based type items, but for some of the personnel, that'll stretch over that period.
Any questions for Jeff? Questions earlier. Motion to approve the web report. Okay, again, Noreen has a motion to approve the web report. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Noreen has a second. Any comments? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There's a motion carries. Citizens Budget Oversight Committee. Evan, are you online? Was there a meeting this month?
I sure am. There was not a meeting yet this month. We are moving the meeting to the end of this month so we can review the financial audit. This will be posted on the website.
Committee reports. I know we're coming off of the summer now and things are a little slow. Do we have any committee reports available right now? Any updates?
We can report about the diversity, equity, and inclusion committee.
Certainly.
That we were able to send a new cohort to five new staff members to participate in the EPP program with Fourth Dimension. This is the third cohort we are having. The program is a 6-month long collective learning experience, and we are looking forward to working with them in supporting the equity efforts for our school.
Thank you.
I can give something on fundraising.
Sure.
So we're looking forward to working with Carl, who's been hired, who Mr. Pappas has mentioned earlier, to see how we can help support any fundraising. We also were able to get a Donors Choose project of food worth about $500 for our Odyssey pantry.
Thank you. And Carl was a member of the fundraising committee as well, too,
before yes.
he was brought mm-hmm. on to before support the school in a part-time development.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to working with Carl and on great things.
Yeah.
Any other committee reports?
I could just state that I know Dr. Marina made her statement that she will be leaving us shortly, but I just want to say that she's been an integral part in the drive and success of the GREET program, and that we are going to utilize what we can from her while we have her, and squeeze everything we can out of her. And I know she will still be available as a consultant, because with her knowledge and her experience and her exposure, she will help us move the GREET program still to where we need it to be. And whoever does fill her shoes, they will have some big shoes to fill. And they will need her support.
Thank you, Ana Maria. I'm very happy to help the school and the program. You know that I love the school and I love the teachers, and I've worked fantastically well with everybody. So I really appreciate it. And I will do my best to support whoever comes now, but I will be happy to work as a consultant, whatever the school, you know, needs me for. I'm here for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina. Any other committee reports? The only other committee that's gearing up now is the non-EPA nominating committee. We have a vacancy on the non-EPA side for a parent director. So there'll be notices coming out looking for individuals that are interested in applying to be on the board as a parent director by the seat vacated by Rodrigo Torres earlier this week.
So signage committee. We have the outdoor signs all in place. Mm-hmm. We're going to work on the indoor signs, I guess.
Awesome. It's looking nice. Things are coming along. So thank you for all that. PTO report. Is Kaya on for a PTO report?
Kaya?
Or anyone from PTO?
I would think that the color run is coming up. So that should be mentioned to look for more information or sign up for the color run.
And what day is that? No.
October 9th.
So I think there's info coming out both in the,
yeah.
the weekly updates as well. So look out for that and sign up. It's a really fun day and a fun activity, a lot of food and festivities going on during the color run. So please, come and sign up and walk if you want, or run if you want. It's a great day.
Yeah. I think we took a few years break from doing the 5Ks, so this will be nice to get back.
Sounds good, thanks. And anything else on the PTO? Like Mr. Pappas said, the PTO will probably be sending out additional information regarding the fundraiser as well, too. We launched that. Do we have any updates on when the breakfast started going on the ground for that?
It should start either later this month or early next month.
Okay, so in the next few
weeks.
Yeah. It will be in front of building 21.
Where the two flagpoles already are in place. Okay. That's what has to be done right now.
So stop by there over the next few weeks. As you start to see the construction there, you'll see the bricks going here.
If there were a couple items that we're still waiting to get shipped, and then we should be good to go.
Okay, all right, thank you. On to new business. We sent everybody out a COVID leave policy that we wanted to review and discuss. This is a policy that the state has, an initiative that the state is promoting, which allows for employees of the school to have up to 10 days of paid COVID leave, both in the school, retroactive to the beginning of the year, before authorizes that. And this will allow for activation of funding from the state to pay for the teachers and to pay for substitute teachers that would come in to backfill the teachers that are on COVID and take care of either immediate family members or themselves when they become sick. So does anybody have any comments or discussions about this?
I mean, it sounds too good to pass up.
Assuming we can find substitute teachers to backfill.
Yeah.
I move we, unless we have more discussion, I move we accept that policy.
I would say that this is of most importance. Okay. And it is the, I highly recommend that the board resolve for this. It is the right decision in order to support our families, our teachers, and when they have to stay home, even when they're in other schools or other areas, they can stay home and we can still sustain our program. Thank you.
I move we accept the policy. Yes, please.
I motion to approve the allowance for up to 10 days of paid COVID leave through December 31st, retroactive to the beginning of the school year.
I'll second that.
Any comments or questions or discussions on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Any information on the good of the school? Anybody has to share?
We shared some things already. I mean, the kids are back in the building. They're enjoying themselves. They're having a great time. Their smiles. It's wonderful to hear the buzz in the halls. And we're very, very blessed to have them back. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Today I got to walk by and see some classes. There was a beautiful music class that was going on outside. It was really, really nice right in the courtyard between 21 and 22. I loved watching some of the classes outside playing sports. I saw some other ones that were using the back of building 23 to reflect on some things. Some great, great stuff going on. We got the sports teams are starting up. So start looking for that communication so we can cheer on our teams. Lots of exciting things, and we have homecoming coming up in October. So good things happening all the way around. And don't forget the color run, because we're all going to go in there and we're going to have a good time and get together and really push for this. There is a possibility, look for communication. We are trying to couple an open house with the color run, an open house for the school with the color run. So more information to come on that. We're in the planning phases of making that a really fun day for everybody involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Barring any other comments, we do need to go into executive session to discuss some qualifications for personnel. Well, so we'll go into that for a few minutes to discuss those things, and then we'll come out and we'll probably adjourn the meeting at that point in time. So thanks everybody for participating.
I move we go into executive session.
Yeah. I just created a breakout room.
George is the only one who needs to really do that.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for our audience.
Wait. I want to see this one. This one picture looks like it's oysters.
That's Dino.
Marianne, can I have one too? I would like one, but there's mine since this morning. I hope so.
Okay, Georgia, we'll start up. Thank you. We're out of executive session. It's 8:42. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the personnel action as discussed in executive session.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. We have a motion to
I
adjourn.
Move to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Any discussion? Opposition? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all for your patience.